our seats. Why don't we give God a praise today? Can we do that? If you're glad to be in God's house today, why don't you clap your hands to Him? I wonder if somebody could give God a shout today for the goodness of God. How many knows that He's good all the time? And all the time, God is good. You may be seated. Today's Baptism Sunday. And so we got a couple we're going to baptize, but if you have been thinking about getting baptized and you feel like God's calling you to make that step, just come up after church and we'll make it happen. And we're really excited about that. All right, we're going to be in John chapter 4 today. If you want to turn there in your tablet or iPhone, or you just want to watch it on the screen, that's fine too. But I felt like God gave me this for today. And it's one of the most important interactions that we see Jesus have with somebody. And it says in verse 3 of John chapter 4, it says, He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but He needed to go through Samaria. Everybody say, He needed to go. So He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me a drink, for His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And then Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, Give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. How many want some living water? Amen. And I want to talk just for a little bit. I'm not going to be too long today because I want to have plenty of time to baptize. But I want to talk to you about come thirsty. We just have to come thirsty to Him. And in this story, we read here that Jesus was with His disciples, and they were going from Judea, which is kind of where Jerusalem's at, and they were traveling north to Galilee, where He grew up. And in between Jerusalem and Galilee, there was this area called Samaria. And Samaria was filled with Samaritans. And Samaritans were considered to be unclean people. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you are a good religious Jew, there are some people you just don't hang around with. Right. That they are religiously unclean, that they don't serve the same God, they don't worship like you, and so you don't talk to them, you don't touch them, and you especially don't drink after them. And so Jesus is on this journey, and the first thing that we see here is it says, and I had you repeat, in verse 4 it says that He needed to go through Samaria. And what you have to realize is that for most Jews, they so detested Samaritans that they would completely go out of their way, and they would cross the Jordan River, and they would go through this huge hassle of completely avoiding Samaritans because they didn't even want to interact with them. And so Jesus, I can see that He's got His disciples, and they're following Him, and instead of taking the bypass, instead of taking 270 around Samaria, He just stays right on 70 and goes downtown. And the disciple is like, hey, Jesus, you missed your turn. We don't go through Samaria. But it says that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. And aren't you glad that we have a God who needs to go around unclean, unworthy, unholy people so that He can touch them, so He can minister to them? How many is glad that Jesus needed to see you? How many is glad that Jesus wants to be with you? And we have to be intentional about going through Samaria. You and I, we must go through Samaria. And if we ever think that, you know, I'm too good to go around those people, I'm too good to minister to those people. Now, we all have a list of those people, don't we? We all have a list of those people we don't like to be around, that if God wants to send an angel and minister to them, that's great, but it ain't going to be me. Right? We all do this. You know, you're on a plane, and there's an empty seat next to you, and you're hoping and praying that no one comes to fill that seat. And with every new person that gets on the plane, you're like, oh, Lord, not him. too big. Lord, not her. She has not only one baby, but two babies. Lord, if you would just bless them to be upgraded to first class, I would be okay with that. Right? Why? Because we all have people that we don't really want to be around. And if we're honest, we think that some people are even beyond God's help. You know, how could God even want something to do with those people? But what we have to realize is that Jesus, being the loving, gracious God that he is, he needed to go through Samaria. Why? Because he knew that there was a woman there that needed him. And if you're here today, I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, you're not off limits. Matter of fact, you're in the right place. Amen. That there are no qualifications to be and to meet with Jesus other than you just got to be thirsty. You just have to have a desire for something more than what you've experienced. And I want to tell you, you've come to the well today. How many came to the well today to take another drink of living water that never, ever dissatisfies? And so Jesus, he has a way of going to places to meet with people he shouldn't meet and to be with people he shouldn't be with. And I love what Romans 5:8 says. It says that God demonstrates his own love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, Jesus died for you before you accepted him, before you believed in him, before you wanted him. Jesus wanted you. He died for you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your history. He knows everything about you, but he still wants you. That's the God we serve today. And so Jesus, he makes his way to this well in Samaria. And he sits down there and he has this interaction with a woman. And he asked her for a drink. Now, reading this, maybe in 21st century America, we're like, well, what's the big deal? Well, we have to realize, number one, Jews don't go to Samaria. Number two, Jews don't sit down at wells in Samaria. Number three, Jewish men don't talk to Samaritan women. And number four, Jewish men don't ask Samaritan women for a drink. Right. You know why? Because it all speaks of contamination. That they thought they would become unclean, you know, to the point they didn't even pass through the place, much less drink after one of them. And so Jesus, he asked this woman for a drink. And she says, why are you asking me for a drink? Don't you know we're not supposed to talk to one another? Don't you know that there's walls between us that everyone says has to be there? And I'm glad that I serve a wall-breaking God. Yeah. Glad I serve a God that doesn't know boundaries. A God that says, well, I can't minister to that person because they're that color. I can't minister to that person because they have that type of philosophy or lifestyle. Jesus just sees hungry and thirsty people. Oh, yeah. Jesus just sees people that need help. And so she says, well, what are you doing talking to me? And I'm glad that our God's a holy God. I'm glad he's not like me. I'm glad that he's perfect. I'm glad that his ways are so much higher than mine. But I'm also glad that he sees my needs more than he sees my faults. That he sees what I can be more than where I'm at right now. And that's what Jesus saw with this woman. And so he's breaking all the rules to talk to her. And I just want to tell you, we need a church that's willing to break all the rules. We need a church that says, we're going to take you right where you're at. No, we're not endorsing everything about you, but you're thirsty and we got something for you. We got a drink of living water. And I'm just going to tell you that if that bothers you, this might not be the right church for you. If you think some people are off limits and they can't, and sometimes I hear questions like, Pastor, what if those people show up? Well, those people are thirsty and we're going to give them a right to drink just like everyone else. Just like God changed you, God can change them. God can change their hearts because we serve a God that gives living water. Does anybody believe that today? And I love what Jesus says. In verse 10, it says that Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him. And he would have given you living water. And that's what I want you to know here today. Is I just wish that you could know the gift of God. I wish that everyone in here could know what the gift of God and what God's wanting to do for you. You just have to ask for it. And here's what Satan does. He tries to convince you that God's your enemy. He tries to convince you that God doesn't want you. He tries to convince you that God's conspiring against you to your doom and your demise. But I want to tell you, I just wish everybody in here today would know the gift of God that he has for you. And God is fighting for you. God is on your side. God's not against you. God wants to help you. God wants to give you some living water where you'll never thirst again. And that's the first block you have to get out of your mind is this, that God is for me. God loves me. And if you've experienced hurt, it's probably been because of other people. And I just want to really help you to know today, this give you this powerful revelation, those other people aren't God. Or maybe you can't forgive yourself for something. You're not God. God didn't do that. You did that. But we have a God of grace and mercy who can love us and get us past hurts. He can get us past things that have happened to us in the past. Why? Because he loves us. Jesus loves me. This I know for what the Bible tells me so. And that sometimes, if you can just get a hold of that fact beyond any great theological truth, if you can just believe that God loves you, that can get you through a lot of days. Jesus loves you today. He wants to show you what he has to offer. And if you ask God for what he has to offer, he's not going to turn you down. He's not going to tell you no. That I wish that all of us could just understand that everything that we need in life is from Jesus. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives and everyone who he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Then I love this. He says, or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent. In other words, all you dads out here, if your little boy wants something and asks you for it, you love to do that. You love to give them gifts. And you know, one of my greatest experiences is giving my nephews and my niece gifts for Christmas. Why? Because there's just something powerful about giving them something that makes them happy. And then he says this. He says, if you then being evil, in other words, if you being a human being who has all kinds of sins and faults, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And I want to tell you that God has good things for you today. You just have to ask for it. And that's what Jesus was saying. If you just know, woman, if you just knew who was standing in front of you, if you just knew that the God who created everything is standing right in front of you, you would ask him for a drink and he would give it to you. And I want to just encourage you today that Satan has put so many blocks in so many people's minds that they don't even ask God for things. And I just want to really push you today, and I want to encourage you to go for it and just ask him for it. If you need salvation, ask him for it. If you need healing, ask him for it. Whatever you need, it's here today. Why? Because there's a well of the Holy Spirit that's here with the presence of God and the power of God. Ask him. It's a gift. Acts 2:38. Many of you know this. Peter, on the first day of the church's existence, he closed his sermon by saying this, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the what? Gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. We can't earn it. We can't do enough good things. There's nobody in here that deserves it. It's a gift from God, and all you have to do is ask and receive. Just receive it. And I love this interaction that Jesus has. This woman, and the woman said to him in verse 11, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, we all have our wells, don't we? And this woman, she couldn't get her mind around that Jesus was talking about a spiritual reality, because to her, everything was a physical reality. And she said, "Where's your bucket? How are you going to get this water that you're talking about?" And we all have our buckets, don't we? We all have our wells, right? For some of us, it's drugs. That's the well we go to. That's the well when we need something that brings meaning to our life, tries to make us feel better. We go to the drug well. And that works for a little bit. But the problem is this: you have to keep going back. Now, there's some of us that our well's maybe not that drastic. We have a shopping well. We have a credit card well. We get a little bit depressed. Life's not going our way. We think if we just go to the mall and we just buy some stuff, that'll give our life some meaning. Some of us in here have a relationship well, which is actually what this woman had. That if I don't have a relationship, if I'm not in a serious relationship with somebody, I can't be happy. And all of these things have one thing in common, and that they demand that we keep coming back. We have to keep going back. We have to keep going back to the well for the relationship. We have to keep going back to the well for all of the things that we think will make us happy. The money well, the drug well, the alcohol well. All of those wells, they temporarily meet the need, but they can't give lasting happiness. I love what Jim Carrey recently said, the actor. He said, "I wish everybody on earth could become rich and famous for a little bit, so that they could find out that that's not the answer." And it's not the answer. And I want to ask you, what's your well today? What is it that you have to have that? And I want to encourage you today, the only thing that can make you happy is Jesus Christ. The only thing that can give your life meaning, the only thing that can help you understand what life is all about and to make you feel content is Jesus. And Jesus plus nothing equals everything. You could take this whole world away, but as long as you have Jesus Christ, you see, the money's going to run out. The relationship's going to end. Now, I love Danielle, but she cannot be my well. Oh, come on, somebody. I love you all, but you cannot be my well. My well cannot be how many people showed up at church today. My well cannot be how much money I make in a year, because the well will run dry. But there is a God named Jesus who has given us the Holy Spirit flowing through us, and it's a well that never runs dry. It never, ever leaves us thirsty. And here's the thing. For all of our wells, you know what they make us do? They make us work, don't they? You get dependent upon the well. Some people work themselves to death over some well that they think will make them. And this woman, she had to come every day and she had to draw water. And every day she would have to make this trip. And every day she would have to do all the labor and what it took to get the water out of that well. And that's what our wells make us do. But here's this thing. Jesus has this concept called grace. And we don't work at this well. It's a gift. And every day we get up and we say, "Lord, give me your grace today. God, help me do what I need to do." And God is not opposed to effort. He is opposed to earning. And yes, we still have to give effort, but at the end of the day, everything that we get is God's grace. And that's what I love about this well today. What I love about Jesus is that we can go there and he does the work. How many knows that he did the work on Calvary? How many knows that he gives us the gift of his Holy Ghost? How many knows that everything that we need, he has provided, and I can live my life in rest, and I know that Jesus will take care of me? That Jesus is my answer. So Jesus offers satisfaction that will never run dry. And when you know Jesus every day, you drink from a stream of mercy and grace. And what is this water? I want to tell you, this water comes from Jesus, and it's the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. You see, you can go through the worst time of your life. And oftentimes when people go through the worst time of their life, what do? They run to the wells that they've for so long thought would make them happy. Here's what Jesus does. He puts the well inside of you. That I got a river of life running through me today. That I could lose everything tomorrow. You can't take it away from what I have inside of here. I have a well of living water, and it's called the Holy Spirit. And you can have it too. Jesus said in John chapter 7, says that Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Boy, it doesn't sound too discriminatory, does it? Anybody who's thirsty, come get a drink. Well, I'm not religious. That's okay. Come get a drink. Matter of fact, one of the things this woman did was she tried to play her religion card. She said, "Don't you know who built this well? Jacob built this well." And Jesus wasn't impressed by her religion card. As a matter of fact, for some people, that's their well. Some people think if they just show up to church, that will somehow make God happy and somehow bring them contentment. And I'm glad that you're here today. But just coming to church in itself is not the well. The well is a person named Jesus. And you must have a personal relationship and you must have a personal experience with him. There's going to be lots of people, and there are lots of people who come to church and they leave empty because they didn't interact with the purpose. And that purpose is a person. And so Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, but Jesus had not yet been glorified. Here's what that's saying. Is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, there's a well of living water that flows through us. And I want to challenge you, if you haven't experienced the Holy Spirit like you think you should, religion won't do it for you. Church in itself will not do it for you. You have to have a personal experience yourself. I can't give it to you. It's a gift from God. And the reason people give up on God, give up on church, is because they've never really experienced the power of the Holy Spirit moving in their life. I don't have a church to offer you. I'm not here to try to scam you into something. The only thing we have to offer you today is an experience with Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. We can't sing enough good songs, and we can't do enough good things to meet that need within your whole, that within the whole of your soul. The only way that comes is through a personal relationship with God. And I want to encourage you, if you've been coming for church to church for years, and you leave week in and week out, and you still feel empty, but maybe it's because you're not connecting with the source. Amen. You're coming to the well, but you're not drinking. And we need to drink from that well today. And the only qualification that you have to have is you have to be thirsty. You have to have this attitude that there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than working 5-6 days a week and having a day off and going to the bar and seeing my friends. There's got to be more to that. Why? Because that well will leave you thirsty. You'll have to come back next weekend. I have a friend that used to do valet at one of the casinos in St. Louis. And he said every week people would leave crying. They spent their whole paycheck at that well. He said next weekend you'd see him right back. Why? Because that's their well. That's what they thought they have to have. But here's the thing. You don't have to be perfect to drink of this well. You just got to be thirsty. Then in verse 15 it says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw.'" That's where some of you are at today. Show me where this water's at. I'm sick of going to those wells. I'm sick of going to the bar every weekend trying to find happiness. I'm sick and tired of going through relationship after relationship trying to find the quote-unquote right one that will make me happy. And while I'm at it, there is no magical right one out there that can make you happy. You know who the right one is? It's Jesus. There's no marriage that's going to make you happy. There's no job that's going to make you happy. It's a person named Jesus. And so Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you've said well. I have no husband, for you have had five. And the one whom now is not your husband, the man that you're with now, he's not your husband. And that you spoke true. I lost my place there. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Here's what happened. He said, hey, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, that's right. You've had five of them, and the guy you're with now is not your husband. Almost like turn to the Jerry Springer show at this well. And here's what we have to realize. Jesus wasn't being mean and judgmental and harsh with her. You know what he was doing? He was exposing her well. You see, Jesus wasn't promising that this woman would never have to go physically back to this well and get water. She was going to have to go back there to drink physical water. But he was showing her the water that you really need and the well that you're really drinking out of is relationships. Now, I want you to think about this. She'd been married five times. The guy she's with now, that's number six. And I think what Jesus is telling her is, I'm the right one, because he was number seven. And in that culture, number seven meant a lot. It was a number of completion. And so Jesus was telling her, I'm the guy that you're looking for. I'm the source that you're looking for. And here's what Jesus will do. He will call you out on your well. He will tell you your well is drugs. You worship drugs. You love drugs more than people. And you'll do whatever you can to get those drugs. He'll say your well is money. You love money more than your family. You love money more than God. And you'll do whatever you have to do to get more money. And the reason Jesus does that is this. It's not because he's harsh. It's because he's loving. Right. And he loved this woman too much to leave her and have her going back to the same empty lifestyle that she had been going to time after time after time. And here's the thing. Jesus loves us where we're at, but he loves us too much to leave us there. And there's churches all around here. They'll affirm you. They'll tell you how great you are. And we think you're great too. But we also believe that God has a journey for you, for all of us, for me and for you, called sanctification. And here's what you have to realize. You have to come to a place where you identify your well and you repent and you leave your well. Yeah. And you drink of the water Jesus has to offer. And in this day and age, that's not very popular anymore, is it? No. You're just fine the way you are. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But here's the thing. That well, it's going to destroy you if you don't leave it. That well, that woman, this was her only hope to really experience life. And unless she realizes that Jesus is the person I've been looking for, Jesus is the relationship I've been looking for, she was going to go home. And it probably would have been another man, another relationship, another disaster, and the whole cycle would just keep repeating itself. And some of you here today, unless you get a hold of this, unless you get a hold of God, you're going to keep repeating your life. You're going to keep going back to the drugs. You're going to keep going back to the relationships. You're going to keep going back to the whatever lifestyle it is that leaves you thirsty and leaves you wanting for more, but it won't satisfy. And I want to tell you today, you don't have to live there one more day. You can drink out of a well today. You can know a God today named Jesus Christ who will never leave you thirsty. He will never forsake you. He will never, ever leave you wanting to come back for more, to work for something you don't have, because he gives it to you through grace. Does anybody believe that today? Has anybody had a drink of that well? Has anybody found contentment in Jesus today? And here's the thing. God knew everything about this woman. He knew about the divorces. He knew about the immoral lifestyle she was presently living. And he still sat down and talked to her. He still offered her a drink. He still loved her. And I want to tell you today, wherever you're at in life, whatever the well is that has demeaned you and left you feeling like you're almost not even human anymore, you're a perfect candidate to drink from the well. You know why? Because you've tried it all. You've tried all the different wells in the neighborhood. You've tried every well you can think of. And so you're a perfect candidate to drink of the real one, which is Jesus. You're a perfect candidate today. Jesus is looking, if he's looking for anybody, he's looking for you today. Why? Because you need it the most. You need a drink of this well more than anybody. And I want to tell you, God loves you. God wants you today. He wants you more than anything in this world. He wants to give you a drink and he wants to show you his nature. He wants to show you what it's like to be happy. He wants to show you what a life looks like of not having to go to a well called drugs. He wants to show you what it's like to live a life where you can be totally free of any relationship and you can still be happy because you have Jesus. He wants to show you what it's like that maybe you don't have the job and you don't have the title, you don't have the house, you don't have the car, but you're still content because you have a living God living inside of you named Jesus Christ. And that is more important than anything else in this world, is that you know Jesus. That's the only thing that will give you eternal life. I got a river of life flowing through me today. I got a river of eternal life flowing through me today. And I know that whatever happens tomorrow, I got a treasure in Jesus Christ. I have a relationship with the God of eternity. You can have that too. I want to tell you, that's the only thing that's going to make you happy. That's the only thing that's going to give you contentment. This woman continues her conversation, and she says in verse 20, she says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship." And that's one of the reasons why Samaritans were considered unclean, is they had another temple, and they had another religious system, which, by the way, wasn't right. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Here was what this woman was saying. She was playing her religion card again. And she's saying, you know, we think we ought to worship here. And you guys think you ought to worship there. And what Jesus was telling her, he was saying this. Woman, there's coming a time where it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter where you're at in this world. Because you have to understand, they viewed the temple, we'll just use the analogy of our church, they thought, you have to come here to worship God. You have to come here to drink of the well. And what Jesus was telling her was this: there's a time coming where none of that's going to matter. He said, God is looking for people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And you know what that means? Worship him wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, out of personal relationship, not out of physical placement. And here's where I'm going with this today is that God is looking for people who drink from the well wherever they're at. You don't have to be here to connect with God. You don't have to be here to come in contact with the presence of God and drink of the well that he has. You know why? He puts it inside of you. He puts it inside of your heart. You don't have to be at church tomorrow and everything is chaotic for you to feel the peace of God in your life. You can feel it right where you're at, in the middle of your workplace, in the middle of school. You can be in the worst situation outside of these doors, and you can have that river of living water spring up and to give you peace and give you contentment and give you strength. Why? Because the Father is looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for people who will surrender their life to Him. He's looking for people who will just say, I'm thirsty, give me a drink. And I want to tell you today, the well's here. The well's open. You just have to be thirsty. The musicians would come. You just have to be open to what God has for you. Is anybody open today? Anybody open to something different? I want to ask you, for all of your wells, for all the relationships, for all the drugs, for all the alcohol, for all the habits, for all the shopping, for all the spending, how's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? When's the last time you bought something at the mall and you said, that's it, I'll never have to go back? Come on now. When's the last car you bought and said, I'm good, I'll never buy another car in my life? Even to make it more personal, when's the last time, in whatever relationship you're in, whether it's marriage or friendship or whatever it is, that you interacted with that friendship and you said, all my life's problems are solved? You see, even that well, it's just a band-aid for what Jesus has to offer. When's the last time you went on a vacation and said, never have to go on a vacation again? Some people, they spend their life going on trip to trip, trying to avoid the reality of their life. That's their well. They think, if I can just go to the Bahamas, I'll be happy. The problem is this: you take yourself with you. And that's what I'm trying to show us today, is that people in the Bahamas, they need living water too. People with huge mansions in Beverly Hills, they can build the biggest house they want to, but if you don't have the well here, it doesn't matter. I've met people who are dirt poor, but they're happy and content. Why? Because they got a well that springs up inside of them, and it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what the circumstances is. It doesn't matter what happens to them in life. They're happy. Why? Because there's a well that springs up deep inside of us. And that well is called Jesus today. And I want to tell you, it's here today. Just come take a drink. He's here today to touch you. You just have to be open and you just have to be thirsty and say, Lord, help me. And I wonder if we could stand all over this place right now, and if we could stretch our hands towards heaven and we could take a drink. We could say, Lord, I'm thirsty. Lord, what I've experienced heretofore, it's not getting the job done. Lord, I need you to give me an experience with you. Lord, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. Lord, I want the Holy Spirit moving in my life more than anything in this world, more than money, more than things, more than relationships. God, I have to have an experience with you. Can we cry out to him right now? Can we just call upon our need to him right now and say, Lord, give me more of you. Give me more of your power. Give me more, Lord, of your presence. God, some of us, we've let the well run dry, and we need to have a fresh experience with Jesus. Can we just do that right now? Can we just focus on that right now? Jesus, I pray, God, pour out your Spirit upon us today in a new way. If you have a prayer language, why don't you go ahead and pray that prayer language right now all over this place. Let's let that well spring up. Let's let that living water flow through us right now. Father, I pray that you would fill somebody with the Holy Ghost right now. I pray you would fill somebody with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's lift up our head. Come on, let's keep that going. The Holy Ghost is wanting to move in here today. Let's not quench the Spirit. Let's not put a lid on that well. Let's let the Holy Ghost do what He wants to do. I wonder if we could put a hand on the person next to us right now. Can we do that? Can we all over this place connect with somebody? Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, God, that we, Lord, would be sources of living water. Lord, that the water of Your Spirit would flow through us, oh Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray against every spirit, Lord, that's blinded people, Lord, so that they can't even know what the gift of God is. I pray, pour out Your gift, Lord, upon this congregation today. Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Here's what we're going to do. Now, we're going to baptize these people. It's going to be okay. If they have to wait 5 minutes, it's okay. If you're thirsty, the river's open. If you're thirsty, come drink.